I'm Associate Producer Jillian Parks. Come along and join us in Tulsa, Oklahoma for an exploration of the vibrant city's arts, culture, and film. We met up with Renee McKinney, President of Tulsa Regional Tourism, Meg Gold, Executive Director and Commissioner for the Tulsa Office of Film, Music, Arts, and Culture, and Arthur Jackson, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for Tulsa's Future. Come along and join the conversation to discover why the city is fast evolving into a mecca and boomtown for the arts and so much more.
That Golden Valley, this land was made for you and me.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. We're in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come along and join me for a fascinating journey of discovery.
I'm Renee McKinney. I'm the president of Tulsa Regional Tourism.
Meg Gould, I am the Executive Director and Film Commissioner for the Tulsa Office of Film, Music, Arts, and Culture.
And my name is Arthur Jackson. I am the Senior Vice President of Economic Development for Tulsa's Future, which is a 501c3, and it is the regional economic development organization for Tulsa.
One of the things that intrigued me was the film aspect. Talk to us about the film dynamic.
As president of Tulsa Regional Tourism, film is a major component of what we do. So their film, music, arts, and culture, we did over 28 productions last year, and we are a thriving film community, which is why Meg came here to help lead the charge on that.
We have a great film community here, and it's only getting stronger. We have competitive incentives at the state level and a thriving crew base here as well. Our talent has just really lifted in the past few years with productions such as Killers of the Flower Moon that is about to be released. That was made in our area, and it employed a lot of people and helped us train our crew. So with that, we're getting more and more recognition as Tulsa being the capital of Oklahoma as far as filming.
So there are two dynamics to location filming. One is studio and one is truly on location. How much weight is there for the attraction and the allure of the physical characteristics of Tulsa that attracts filmmakers?
From just the topography alone, we're in green country, so when people think of Oklahoma, I think they're very surprised when they come to Tulsa, because what they see are hills, it's lush, it's green, there are trees. And so the filmmakers are really excited when they come here because they can create all different location sites. We also have a lot of small towns. Mm-hmm. We're on Route 66, and from there, you can go back and see a space, you can see bicycles just going down the street when you're in Pawhuska. So we are the authentic American story. I think if you want to consider cowboys and Indians in the pioneer spirit, mm-hmm. you know, we have 39 sovereign nations in Oklahoma. We have three that are here just in Tulsa alone. So you've got Cherokee, Muscogee, and Osage. So I think that creates a very interesting dynamic.
Absolutely. And as far as like the stages that we have here, we have a very state-of-the-art stage that's about 10,000 square feet and that has an LED wall that is being used for all types of production.
So you can do virtual location there. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a lot larger than a lot of people have. It's the Cherokee Film Office that uh-huh. has it. So they use it a lot for their original programs. And then they also rent it out to some of these films that come through here. And they're able to do even more in Tulsa than what they originally planned because of that wall as well.
That's interesting. Talk to us about, you know, it's my own naivete coming in. I thought it would have been the physical architecture of Tulsa that would have been a big attraction. Does that play an element?
Well, I think the architecture here, just that Art Deco, is mm-hmm. amazing. All of these buildings downtown were built during when the oil barons were here. And so during that time period of the 20s, you had these amazing architectural, like all along Boston. But you can have that in the buildings, and then you've got the river with the Arkansas River that runs through.
That's a big river.
It's a very big river.
I was blown away.
Yes. Yes, and it's about to be dammed up to be a lake.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be full. Coupled that with Black Wall Street, and you know, really what's happened here is this real emergence of Black wealth coming back into the community.
Right now, the here and now.
The here and now.
Wow.
And so we're really starting to see.
What built up that momentum? Was there, you know, something that kind of kick-started?
I think really just people telling the story of Black Wall Street, and Arthur would have a great comment for that, I believe.
So what really kicked it off, Tom, is film, actually, right? So you remember the HBO series The Watchmen came out, even though I don't believe it was filmed here, unfortunately, in Tulsa and on Black Wall Street, but a lot of people were unaware of the story and the history of the race massacre here. And even me, coming from Texas at the time, I wasn't here in Tulsa and Oklahoma yet. I'd never heard the story. We learn Black history, but this is not taught in schools. And so I remember watching that series with my wife, and I'm on the phone Googling, like, this can't be real. Did this really happen in history? And as the series unfolds, it's like, I think this really happened. And started Googling, and that's when I found out about Black Wall Street and Tulsa and the history of Black entrepreneurship, hoteliers, real estate professionals, doctors. So that's really, in my opinion, what kicked it off and put Tulsa on the map and helped kickstart the revitalization of Black Wall Street.
And there's been other documentaries filmed here as well on that that has brought awareness. And so, yes, film helped quite a bit in telling that story. And so we actually recently had a show that's going to be on the OWN network that's called Rebuilding Black Wall Street.
Kind of an interesting aside is it's like karmic almost, you know. This,
yes.
Yeah.
And then also, I mean, there's rich music history. So are you familiar with the Gap Band? So I asked some of the younger generation now, and they're like, who's the Gap Band? And I start singing their songs, and they don't know who it is. Well, Gap Band is from here. So there's three major streets that intersect in the Greenwood District, which is Black Wall Street. It's Greenwood, Archer, Pine. That's how they got their name.
So I'm at the airport today flying in, and it's Bob Dylan. What?
Yes.
Was he from here? What's the connection?
Well, Bob Dylan was part of the Tulsa Sound, which there is a studio called the Church Studio. And Leon Russell did all of his recording. He was known for really creating music along with the likes of Willie Nelson, Tom Petty, Bob Dylan. And so in the 70s, along with the Gap Band, they were all creating music. Church Studio just reopened last year.
Oh, wow. So Bob Dylan would come here to do recording.
He did. And the way the story goes, he was a big fan of Woody Guthrie. And Woody Guthrie Museum is here. And so he wanted his museum to be next to Woody Guthrie.
So Woody Guthrie was from Tulsa?
He was.
Wow.
So that's how we wound up with the Bob Dylan Center here. And it was really a grassroots effort from some community organizations as well, the George Kaiser Family Foundation. But it really started with Bob Dylan's love of Woody Guthrie, who's right here from Northeast Oklahoma.
What a paradox in a lot of ways. I mean, you guys go down to Lubbock and you know who's from there.
I do. Buddy Holly.
Yeah. Yes. But the same thing, you know, but basically a small, isolated town that how it nurtures these world famous stars. Isn't that interesting?
We were just with Taylor Hanson this morning of the Hanson Brothers, and he's from here. So there is so many interesting intersections of music. It's really, to me, what's beautiful is that they all are supporting one another, and they all really want to elevate this community from the sound and the history.
It really is a music city, and becoming more and more so because of the celebration of music that we have here. We have such support on the local level that now we're trying to make sure that everybody knows about us. And through these different museums that are being put here, it's bringing other awareness here. And we are getting our artists out on the road, and they're talking about Tulsa. So, you know, I came from Texas, and we heard what they were doing up here in Oklahoma, and was so appealing to me when I decided to take this position.
What hooked you? What was the attraction?
Honestly, my background is primarily in film. I was with the Film Commission in Dallas. And so when Oklahoma started getting all these larger projects and got a new incentive here and were really attracting a lot of talent here, we took notice. So I saw the momentum that was being built up here, and I just really wanted to be a part of that and make a difference.
You just alluded to something like Georgia Film Commission. The states that do a good job of economic incentives are the ones that bring it home.
Absolutely. I mean, if you don't have a state incentive, the movies and the films, and especially the larger projects, don't even look at you. Oklahoma has done it very smart. So they started a little bit lower, and then it built up over time. And so now it's $30 million. And hoping that we can go back and show them the successes that we've had, especially from this past year of Killers of the Flower Moon, that they'll see what value we have and how much money we actually put into the economy.
Is it pretty straightforward to prove ROI?
It's not as straightforward as you think. So we got to get a little creative. We have to tell those stories of the dry cleaners that were on Killers of the Flower Moon that just handed over the keys to their crew and said, come and do your laundry. And so they earned more money in that period of time than they had in the past few years.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I mean, it's like those stories that we need to tell and show that they're eating in our restaurants and that they're spending money at our lumber yard. They're staying in our hotels, and we're getting the benefit of all of that, and then they leave.
Well, I do want to hit on the point that Renee made earlier about the telling the authentic American story, right? You see our topography here. We're not flat here in Northeast Oklahoma in green country. And so while a lot of films, and I'd say 99% of them, are driven by incentives, right? But I think there's something about Killers of the Flower Moon that made us unique.
Yeah.
With the story of the Osage tribe. No other state could have told that. It was almost like it had to be done here. So we do have some things that are kind of intangible or beyond any type of monetary value when you start shooting historical movies that need to be accurate and depicted in the proper way to represent Native Americans.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's so much interesting stories here. I have to tell the story of The Outsider's House, because Essie Hinton, she wrote The Outsiders in 1967, and that became a movie in 1983 with the Brat Pack. So you had Rob Lowe and Tom Cruise and Matt Dillon and C. Thomas Howell and Ralph Macchio and Emilio Estevez. So you had an incredible group. Well, that movie and that book is the top-selling young adult book of all time.
Wow.
And now Danny Boy O'Connor, who is the singer, the rap artist that did Jump Around, moves here because of The Outsider's House, goes in and turns it into a museum, so now it's one of our top attractions, and now they are making a musical out of it that's going on Broadway. So it's like all of these very weird stories that start from literature to movies to attractions and now to a musical. It's really an interesting place.
So, Renee, talk a little bit more, because Tom, we're taking him to meet with Teresa Knox tomorrow in the church studio. Can you expand a little bit more on the musical and what that's going to bring to church studios?
Well, we're excited. I mean, it's still kind of evolving as we speak, but we know Angelina Jolie just came on as the executive producer. And so now there's this light shining on coming here and perhaps bringing some of the musicians here, composers here, to see the church studio and then to be able to start selling tickets on November 1st. And they'll be on Broadway in April.
You guys are leaving Dallas and Austin in the dust.
Texas is They meet every 2 years to talk about the laws and everything, and so they had a new incentive bill that was being put in place that they wanted $100 million to put in for their incentives. In order to do this, they made a video that brought in all these stars from, like, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, Billy Bob Thornton, Dennis Quaid, and they're all talking about their incentives and why it was important, and then all of a sudden you hear them go, "Don't make me say it. We're losing business to Oklahoma." So, you know, I mean, it's like they're seeing what Oklahoma is doing, and we're just getting better and better at our crafts here.
So tell them a little bit, go into the film stuff that we've been doing down at South by Southwest in Austin, in the heart of Texas, and some of the creative things that Tulsa has taken down there.
Yeah, so one of the things that is important to us is to have a presence in some of these bigger cities, especially that are music cities and film cities. And so every year we go down to South by Southwest and we sponsor the Tulsa House, and it's on Rainy Street. So this past year we took 16 artists, bands, and DJs down there for a two-day activation for this house, and they were very well received. We had a line outside the door that was down the street for Wildorado, and it was like an hour or so wait to get into the house.
Wow.
We had people from like the Texas Music Office that were there, and they were like, "We see what y'all are doing." And it's a big celebration of who we are. So we celebrate Tulsa and bring in panels that talk about some of the programs that we have here, like Tulsa Remote. And then we also will be bringing in more music and film panels as well to talk about what we do here in Tulsa.
Interesting. Remember when Toronto was dubbed Hollywood North? Are there some of the same dynamics here that become the allure, the attraction, you know, your supportiveness for the on-location filming, you know, the being able to block off a street without it being a major?
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind just went to. You know, we have filming here, but it's not overly so. So our locations are very, very friendly. It's easy to get a permit. Our city loves filming, and so therefore they work with us. From when Reservation Dogs was filming here one day, they there was construction on the road that they were filming on. So we called the city and said, "Hey, can y'all halt that for a couple hours?" They're like, "Sure." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" You said yes. So it is a very friendly town to film in, for sure.
Meg, talk a little bit more about that, because we haven't even touched on the streaming. We've talked about film, we've talked about music, but Reservation Dogs, Tulsa King.
Yeah, so television has also found Tulsa, for sure. Reservation Dogs, it's three seasons, so they're currently showing the final season, and we have some hometown heroes like Sterling Harjo, who wants to live and work in Tulsa, and so he's bringing those shows here. It's been very well received. Matter of fact, this past weekend I was in LA at an award show that they were nominated, so people are noticing that as well. Tulsa King chose Tulsa because of our landscape and who we are as well, and so it was featured prominently in that show, and we've gotten a lot of notice because of our name being in the title.
We got over 30,000 news stories that were written about Tulsa King. Internationally, Paramount did a huge marketing campaign. So we had people calling us from London saying Tulsa King was on the double-decker bus. And we couldn't even pay for that. That was an amazing opportunity. And the Mayo Hotel just across the way there, a lot of people were calling us saying, "Is that place real?" And we're like, "Yeah, it's a real hotel. It was actually a character in the show."
That's so cool. And you touched on something earlier briefly, and that's the infrastructure of the support staff, your local people, technical people. Talk to us about that and how that is a key ingredient.
Well, there's a couple things that go along with that. Right now, we're trying to build up more because we do have a really good crew here, but bringing in multiple shows, we need it to do even get more people trained and get them onto the set. So I will say that the schools around here and the workforce training opportunities here have been amazing, and they're all wanting to do the same thing, have their goal of having their students get onto the set. So, you know, we have a good base, and we're building up even more, which is going to bring a lot more attention to Tulsa as well.
Okay, we could go on for an hour just on film. That's my favorite subject. But you guys do more. Yeah. Economics. Talk to us about the breadth.
A little bit more about Tulsa's Future, which is our regional economic development organization. So we go across 9 counties, right? And what that means is we have 3 main functions. So the first one that gets all the attention is business attraction. And that means recruiting the big mega projects, right, to the smaller projects. So the things that you read about in the news, the Amazon HQ2s of the world, the Tesla Gigafactories. So those are the types of projects that my team works on. We do have 2 other components to that. So we have a function called business retention and expansion. So that's solely focusing on local existing companies and supporting their growth. And then third, which is really the talk of the world right now, talent development, workforce development, and talent strategy. So we have 2 full-time dedicated talented women that support that brand as well. One of the recent developments that we just had back in May, we landed the largest economic development deal in state history. First gigafactory here going out at the Tulsa Port of Inola, and it's a $1.6 billion project bringing in upwards of 1,900 jobs when they ramp up past phase 2. So they are making end-to-end solar panel manufacturing, which has been the top of the U.S. right now, right? Because solar panels can be pretty pricey, in large part due to a lot of the solar cells, the wafer technology, the chip technology that's been coming from China, which the U.S. has kind of cracked down on, right? And so there's a national security issue there as well. And so Enel partnered with a company out of Italy called 3Sun. And they're doing this facility here. 3Sun is very well known in Italy. They have gigafactories over there producing solar panels now. But this will be the first facility of its kind in North America that will produce end-to-end solar panel manufacturing. So it'll be right here in the Tulsa, Oklahoma area.
Well, we always say, Arthur and I, that the door to economic development starts with a visit. So I would say on the tourism side, you know, there are many successful stories for people coming here for, you know, under tourism, we have our sports commission. We were just named Sports Commission of the Year, which in the nation was Sports ETA, which was huge. We hosted the PGA Championship, which led to business and companies moving their headquarters here. So we are always looking at ways where we can tie those two together. We celebrated really our best year in tourism ever in the city of Tulsa. So for us to be able to leverage music, over 1,600 live performances, leverage film, 28 productions, leverage conventions and sports on top of things like centennials that are coming up, Route 66 celebrating its centennial in 2026. We're the capital of Route 66 here in Tulsa. You know, Cyrus Avery is from here and wrote about the Mother Road being here. So it's some excitement. Kane's Ballroom is one of the oldest ballrooms in the United States and celebrating in 2024 its centennial. And every artist from Bob Wills to the Sex Pistols to George Strait have performed there. So it's really amazing that we have this kind of culture in a very small radius. You can get from point A to point B here pretty quickly.
What's the population?
We're just under 1 million.
Okay.
So population in our MSA is just over 1 million, so we're around 1,040,000 right now. When you go out to the region that our economic development organization controls, which is across 9 counties, that actually bumps up our population to well over 1.1 million.
You guys touched on sports for just a moment. To me, it seems like it would be an important ingredient.
Yeah. We're known for our equine business. So, like right now, we have National Reining, which is a very prestigious horse show. If you're a fan of Yellowstone, that is what you see as reining that goes on through that. So we've got that. They come in for 3 weeks at a time. We're about to have Arabians that will come in. Our Expo Square, which is the home of the Driller, which is the 77-foot statue that people know Tulsa by, that is Expo Square. So that's where our state fair is held, as well as our equine business. And then our convention center here, we just had USA Gymnastics recently. Prior to that, we had NCAA Wrestling. One of my favorite stories about the BOK is you have the Big 12 coming in here and they have a new commissioner, and they're always surprised when they see our facilities because they are beautiful and they look like something you'd see in a destination that would have a pro team, a major pro team basketball team playing in that arena. So we're known for amateur sports. I think this is a great location, being in the middle of the country, that people come here and bring their families and enjoy our sports.
Do you have women's basketball?
Right now we don't have a women's basketball team. They went to Dallas, right?
Yes.
But we do have the Drillers, which is the Dodgers baseball team. So they're here, farm team. We have the Tulsa Oilers. So we have actually an arena football team as well as a hockey team. We also have, with the University of Tulsa, they're here. We've got Oral Roberts University that just recently was in the College World Series. We're sandwiched between Stillwater and Norman, so we've got Oklahoma State University and the University of Oklahoma, both of which are very strong powerhouses.
We also have soccer, too, with FC soccer. Tulsa. Can't forget about
FC
that
Tulsa.
With Lionel Messi going to Miami right now, so he's done wonders for soccer. Plug in, if I may, Tom, on some of the sports stuff. So Renee kind of touched on it a little bit, but our Lieutenant Governor, Matt Pinnell, always says tourism is the gateway to economic development. And so to highlight that, with the PGA, going back to the sports tie, Anel, their project started there. We hosted their head of Gigafactory from Italy, first time ever in Oklahoma and in Tulsa. Conversation started there. 12 months later, we have the largest economic development deal. We've also had 7 headquarters relocations in the past 2.5 years from major cities like Seattle, upstate New York, New Jersey, Phoenix area. But another one that started with sports and at the PGA Championship here in Tulsa is a technology company that does AI and machine learning out of Austin, Texas.
Part of the equation, the affordability of real estate.
Yeah, so it's affordability all around, right? So when you talk about what attracts not only businesses also have to look at what attracts talent. And so it's going to be wrapped up into overall cost of living, and a lot of that in large part is due to affordability, whether that's our median home price right now just over $230,000, whether that's our median apartment rent across MSA of one bedroom $838 per month, two bedroom just over $1,040, and a three bedroom median is just over $1,300 a month. So
there's going to be a reverse westward migration, you know that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it already is. So our biggest population growth drivers as far as net in-migration right now, of course, number one is going to be in-state. I think most states are like that if they have a great city that's growing. But number two and three are Texas, followed by California.
Before we go, there's a couple other dynamics of what y'all do, and that's art and culture.
Yes.
Talk to us about that dynamic for a moment.
I have to say, what has fascinated me about Tulsa is that when it was known for all of the oil barons moving here, they brought their culture with them. So we always have had a great ballet, a great opera. We've always had incredible theater. And because of that, those have maintained. Our ballet is one of the best in the country. And so you've got that aspect that I think has now just grown in all these different areas. So our performing arts, the Philbrook Museum, I have to brag on, is one of the most incredible museums. It really is a museum and gardens. It was the Phillips 66 home from the 20s, but it has very eclectic art, so that you can go in there, even though it looks stately, you can get your hands dirty. Like, there's things to see and do. And I would say, you know, we have the Gilcrease that will be coming back, OK Pop Museum, which celebrates pop culture. That's a brand new museum that will celebrate the likes of Garth Brooks and, you know, Blake Shelton and Kristen Chenoweth and Reba McEntire. And so you think about, we just had artists, when they come in, if they have Oklahoma roots, they want to come in and leave something behind there. So we have a lot of very interesting visual arts and performing arts, and on top of our music and also film. I have to brag on one more thing.
Yeah.
We just had Iron Man here.
Oh, wow.
And we were named the best running course in the world.
What?
Yes, in the world, by their runners.
Was there a why?
Yeah, I would say our trail system and our running paths are just state of the art. And that's something that the George Kaiser Foundation and River Parks have put an incredible amount of love into. But our trail system, and then BMX is based here. So you've got BMX that, you know, has taken over a facility in near Black Wall Street with, you know, North Tulsa. And they actually have a STEAM program where they've gone into the community and given kids a chance to learn about, you know, how to be a competitive athlete in BMX.
And so I was going to mention that. Thank you for bringing that up. But USA BMX is also one of those headquarters that I mentioned that relocated here over the past 2.5 to 3 years or so. But what's really cool about that facility is that it's the Olympic training facility for the U.S. Olympic BMX team as well. So they do a lot for the community.
So it follows that you have a good employment rate, a low unemployment rate.
I was just actually at a conference in Oklahoma City yesterday and drove back to host you wonderful people here. And we were talking with some site consultants. And what site consultants are, for the audience that are not involved in economic development, they're basically consultants that work with companies to identify their next location, right? Whether it's manufacturing, office, headquarters, what have you. And they were talking about our low unemployment rate, which is, you know, on the surface you would think it's great, but when you do some of the work that I do with trying to attract businesses here, sometimes we're like, okay, well, if you have a 2 or 3% unemployment rate, that means that, you know, most of the people are employed. Where am I going to find my talent? But I think the flip side of that, to your point, Tom, is that our labor participation rate is also decent, right? So we're in the low 60s when you talk about the participation of all of our working age folks, which is 16 years or older, are participating and have jobs. And so that's a positive number that a lot of companies also look at.
That's really cool. Parting thoughts?
You know, I'm still fairly new to the city, mm-hmm. and every day I learn something new about Tulsa that just blows me away. It's unbelievable the amount of things that we have here and the lifestyle that you can have here as well. You can be very active and have something to do every weekend, or you can just go and go on a hike in Turkey Mountain. You know, there's so much going on at all times. We kid that we have to go, you know, on vacation just to like get a little bit of rest, because we could be totally busy 24 hours a day here. There's live music every night of the week here as well. So Tulsa is just an amazing town that is starting to really get discovered by others. And I can't even tell you how many people have an amazing story about Tulsa.
One more thing, inbound visitors. We flew in from Denver this morning. It was like an hour and a quarter flight.
Yeah.
It would seem that you can cast your net pretty wide to draw a great demographic to come visit.
You can. I would say, you know, our airport, where our nonstops are very important to us. We are growing our international markets. So in the coming years, you'll see that. But I would say the drivability to being in the middle of the country, we have found was Route 66 is a great example of that. We're taking this stretch of miles and bringing back all the old, people love it, like the old signs and just the kitschiness of the actual road trip. So you have these nonstop flights in from Austin and New York and LA, but you also can drive here and be here within, you know, Dallas is just 4 hours, Little Rock's 4 hours, St. Louis 5. I mean, we're right in the heartland. So I think post-COVID too, people want to come and see the middle of the country. And what's so unique about our sovereigns is that adds a whole incredible layer to it. And it's really a beautiful place.
So you asked any parting words or last comments. I'll say T-Town is the next boom town.
I think it's not the next. I think it's here.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. So to learn more about your world, you have a go-to website?
Yes. So if you want to visit Tulsa, it's very easy. It's just visittulsa.com. And you know, we always update. We have a newsletter, and you can see everything from film, music, arts, and culture, sports, as well as all of our convention and visitor business. And my name is Renee McKinney.
My name is Meg Gould.
My name is Arthur Jackson, and you can reach my organization through a website called TulsasFuture.com. So any businesses, talent looking to move here, reach out to us via that website.
And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll see you here.
We are living on Tulsa time.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.